Revelation chapter 7. The verse we want is verse 17, but we'll read into the context beginning with verse 13. Or actually look at verse 9 and then we'll jump to 13. Revelation 7, 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Verse 13, one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. Okay, this is a group that's going to get saved beyond the years in which we're living right now. This is future. These are they that came, and John is able to see them as if it's already happened. These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Listen, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, that's Jesus Christ, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. See that? The Lamb is going to lead them to what? Living fountains of waters. These souls that came from every nation, they get saved in that horrendous period in history of men called the Great Tribulation, which is yet to come, when the Antichrist is ruling on the world and it's going to be horrible. These people don't take the mark of the beast. They don't worship the image, right? They don't worship the beast. And they get saved. They wash their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. When they're up there, he says they're not going to hunger in verse 16 or thirst anymore, which would indicate to you, as you would expect, during the tribulation, they're going to be starving nearly to death. They're going to be thirsty. When they get up there around the throne of God, they're not going to hunger and they're not going to thirst anymore. And you know from Revelation chapter 16, verses 8 and 9, that the sun, there's a vial poured out on the sun, and it's going to get hot. People are worried about climate change. You ain't seen nothing yet. When God decides to heat that sun up and it begins to scorch men with fire, many of them are also going to the sun is going to light on them. The heat is going to be horrendous. You don't like it when it's 107 outside. Neither do I. You don't like it when it's 97 degrees in your garage. This is going to be hot. And he says, no more of that. No more. These guys aren't going to get hungry. They're not going to be thirsty. And the reason is the Lamb is going to lead them to, listen, living fountains of water. So we understand that when this group is up in heaven, there are living fountains of waters that these, from which these can drink. Right? You see that? Okay. And when I read that passage, my thoughts just immediately went to different places in the Bible where we see flowing water or fountains of living fountains of waters. And I want to bring back to your memory some of these instances in order to make a point. All right, so this is during the tribulation or toward the end of the tribulation when these get taken to heaven, they're going to have living fountains of waters up there, right? All right. Let's go back to the Old Testament and just think about this. I'll make reference to it in essence of time. All the way back there in the days of Abraham. Remember, before Sarah had a baby, he got with Hagar. And they too had a child named Ishmael. When Isaac was born many years later, Ishmael was mocking Isaac. And Sarah said, it's time to get rid of them. And God said to Abraham, who was reluctant, because Ishmael was his first child, God said, you listen to Sarah. It's time for them to move on. And they left. And when they left, Abraham gave her a bottle of water. And you know the story. When they got out into the wilderness heading back down to Egypt, they ran out of water. And when they did, it got desperate. Ishmael was faint. She put him under a bush. She went over away. And the Lord showed up and said, don't worry about that boy. I'm going to do things with him as well. And then in Genesis 21:19, he showed her a well of water. And she got that empty bottle and she filled that bottle and got that water. She couldn't see it. He opened her eyes and showed her a well of water. And she found water at a time when she and her son were about to die. She was hopeless. And God gave her water out there. She couldn't see it. Right? That's how God does. All right? And so then you'll remember when the Jews escaped from Egypt and went across the Red Sea. And they come out on the other side. They go 3 days' journey out in the wilderness. And what happens? The Bible says in Exodus chapter 15, they found no water. All right? And then there's this place called, they see this one place and there's some water there, but they can't drink the water because the water is bitter. And then God showed Moses a tree. And Moses threw that tree in the bitter water, and that water became sweet. And those Jews who hadn't drunk in 3 days, were able to drink of that water and get that thirst quenched. God did that. They couldn't find water. Hagar couldn't find water, but God showed them where the water was. Okay? So God's been doing this. So when he takes these tribulation saints and shows them living fountains of waters, God's in the business of showing people who are thirsty where they can find water. Right? Hagar, Jews out in the wilderness is a couple of examples. And Jesus Christ himself was the most miraculous source of living water. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. While they were out there in the wilderness, and they needed water from time to time, oh, Jesus Christ was that source of water. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse 4. Talking about the Jews in the wilderness, you see that because they've passed under the water when they went through the Red Sea in verse 1. They ate manna, that's the spiritual meat, and in verse 4, did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock, and that rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. When they're out there and they're thirsty, I'll read it to you. People thirsted for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is it that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They'd be almost ready to stone me. That won't be the last time either. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. That's pretty amazing. Water out of a rock, and that rock that followed him was Christ. You want to see something? Turn with me to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. We want verse 15, but you can look at verse 13. Because in Psalm 78, Asaph, who writes this psalm, is going to tell you exactly what it was like when he hit that rock and the water came out. Or not hit that rock the first time, and then that water came out. Watch what happened. Psalm 78, verse 15 is the verse we want, but look at verse 13. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as an heap. That's going through the Red Sea. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with the light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as of out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. That wasn't a trickle. That wasn't a water fountain. I mean, he got that, and that rock stayed with them and provided them water anytime they were somewhere where they couldn't get drink out of a well, right? That's a long time, but that's Jesus Christ, right? Okay, so here's God in our text. The Lamb is going to lead them to fountains of water. He did it for Hagar, right? He did it for Israel, provided Israel in the wilderness all through the Old Testament. What do you suppose happened in John chapter 4 when Jesus shows up in the earthly ministry? John chapter 4, what do you suppose happens? He finds somebody thirsty and shows her how to get some good water, right? She's going to Jacob's well to draw water there in Samaria, and kind of wondering why this Jew wants to have any dealings with her in verse 9 of John chapter 4. And in John chapter 4, verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked at him, and he would have given thee," what kind of water? Living water. Jesus said, John wrote there in Revelation chapter 7, he's going to lead them to living fountains of waters. Right? Verse 11, John chapter 4, the woman saith unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob?" Yeah, a little bit. "Which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle." Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water," pointing at the well, "shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." That should not be surprising, knowing what we know about the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 13 says that the Lord is the fountain of living waters. That water is in Him. He's the source of it. Whether it's a rock in the wilderness or the body of the Lord Jesus Christ walking around. All right? So what do we see? Old Testament, He's showing them where to get water. He's providing them water. During His earthly ministry, He is the source of living water. Right? Okay, during the tribulation, and those guys get up to heaven, he says, I'm going to show you the living fountains of waters. What do you suppose will happen in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ? You suppose he's going to turn the water off, or you suppose they'll find some water? Turn with me to Revelation chapter 22. You see, God is providing water in every time period. Do you see that? Revelation chapter 22. Verse 1, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. There it is again. So there's that water coming out of that throne, which is not surprising since he is the source of the living water. Correct? Okay. Now, we're not going to turn there again because I want to get to this point of the message. I'm just trying to show you there's always water available no matter what time period you're in. During the millennial reign, when you read Ezekiel chapter 47, that water is coming out of those thrones, goes out of the city of Jerusalem, heads toward the east, and then disperses. And everywhere that water is, the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 47, everything shall live whither the river cometh. And it's a river of water. It flows all the way down to the Dead Sea, and that old salt Dead Sea is made clean, and everything lives. And it's loaded with fish. Thank God. That's going to be fun. In the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Hopefully when we have authority over cities, we also have time to fish a little. Amen. You know, I'm still wondering who's going to be the mayor of Violet over here. The little who's going to be the mayor of Edroy? Odom. Virgil, you gotta really behave a lot more if you're gonna get Odom. Just praying for you, bro. That's all I can say. So there's living all there in the millennial reign. River, and there's the tree of life on both sides for the healing of the nations. Fantastic, right? Well, what about now? What about now? So Old Testament, you can go to him and get water. He's the living fountains of waters for Israel in Jeremiah chapter 17. He's the source of living water, even to a Samaritan during his earthly ministry, up there in the tribulation all through the millennium. You know what? Today, those of us who are saved, we should be the living fountains of water. We should be. You say, how is that? How is that? Turn to John chapter 7. How is that that we should be? Well, Jesus Christ himself is now ascended into heaven. He's seated at the right hand of God, John chapter 7. He's sitting up there at the right hand of God, so he's up there doing his earthly ministry. So he's not here as a rock wandering around in the wilderness for us. He is able to point people out to where they can find water. But look at this, John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow," what? "Rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." But he's been given now. If you're in here tonight and you are saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God in you. And with the Holy Spirit of God in you, the Bible says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." So you today, the Lord should be able to use us to point people, like the Lamb is going to lead them to living fountains of water. He ought to be able to point them to us in order to help them find water. Does that sound right, based on what you're seeing there? You would say, well, what kind of water? What kind of water do we have to offer them with the Spirit of God in us and this living water in us? I'll show you three kinds of water that you have to offer. You ready? Turn to Revelation chapter 22. Here's the first. How is it that the Lord could use you to bring living water to a thirsty soul? First of all, by showing them the water of life. Revelation chapter 22, look at verse 17. "The Spirit and the bride say, come." Who is the bride? You, the church. "The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life," at what price? Freely. You should be able to bring them. You should be able to tell them, come. Come. If you're thirsty, come. Just like he talked to the woman at the well, come. You know, when you go back there in John chapter 4 and you see that woman at the well, Jesus Christ did not pour water into a cup and give her something to drink. He said, "If you believe on me, you'll never thirst again." She had a water pot and she had gone to that well and she was fixing to put water in that water pot. Do you know, when you read the rest of John chapter 4, she set that water pot down after she realized that he was the Messiah, went into town and told a bunch of men that she had found him the Messiah because he had told her all things that ever she had done. She didn't fool with that Jacob's well or the water or the pot. She got a man and she had water, the Lord Jesus Christ, the fountain of living water, right? All right, so you have him in you, and you are, when you have the Spirit in you, out of you shall flow rivers of living water. You should be able to go to a thirsty soul, thirsting for life, and say, "Come, come, come to the water of life and take it freely." What are you going to give them? The same thing you received, a drink of the Savior, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's all you'd have to do is give them the same thing that Jesus gave that woman at the well. Introduce them to Jesus Christ and they are tapped into an everlasting supply of water. The water of life. the water of life. You know, sometimes we look around us and we get concerned with all of the daily activity. You've got a job. And you've got to take care of your house, and you've got to mow the lawn and do the laundry and cook food and wash the dishes. And you got to get some rest. And you got to go to Walmart. Yes, got to. And if you're going to go there, you might as well go to Academy or Dick's Sporting Goods, or, you know, I mean, you got to, you know. But the point is, everywhere you are, you know, we're minded of the things that we have on our mind to do. But, you know, everywhere you are, it's just like Jesus Christ. When he went to that well in Samaria, he was thirsty. And he sat down there and he saw her. He said, "Get me something to drink." And that's where it all started. You'd be talking to somebody in an ordinary conversation at any situation, waiter, waitress, receptionist, cashier. You never know. But there are some thirsty people out there, don't you think? And those thirsty people need to know where they can get the kind of water that you got that you don't thirst again. And so the Holy Spirit is in you, and he didn't say out of some of us. He said out of his, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You have to remember that though you may be intimidated, or maybe you're, you know, embarrassed what to say, you've got water. If nothing else, you find a thirsty soul, you can tell them where to get a drink. You can do that because you have the Holy Spirit in you, and you can bring them to the water, and they need the water. They need it desperately. So that's the first way. Turn with me now to Proverbs chapter 20, and I'll show you another way that you can give them some water. Proverbs chapter 20, you can let them drink the water of life freely. You know, when I first started being used of the Lord to help other people come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, I didn't know a lot. I didn't know then what I know now, but I knew enough. I knew enough. And even when I didn't, I could give them tracts. You can too. All right, Proverbs chapter 20. All right, look at verse 5. Counsel in the heart of man is like what? What kind of water do you think is deep water? It's cold for one thing, and it's pretty good too for another. You get down deep enough, right? That's some good water down there. We go up sometimes to Idaho. We're up there in the Post Falls area, which is northern Idaho, up in the Panhandle. There's the Rathdrum Aquifer, some of the best water that you can get from underground in the United States. Fabulous. Deep water. Okay? Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out, just like you do a well. Turn to Proverbs 18, verse 4. Proverbs 18:4, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. Some people are already saved. They just need some counsel. Some people are already saved, and they need some wisdom. And they don't know what you know. They haven't been through your life experience. They haven't read as much Bible as you might have read. They haven't seen that Bible applied in their lives like you have. And they're contemplating something they must do, and they don't know what to do. And they come to you and they say, "Can you give me some counsel? Can you give me some wisdom?" And the answer is yes, you can. Because you're trusting the Spirit of God in you to lead you to the counsel that they need. And it's that water that's going to help them. Now, I will say this many times, because I'm a pastor, I'm approached for counsel. On the phone, talked to a lady today that's in area code 704, wherever that is, somewhere out there. Anyway, she found something on the internet. She's very confused about something going on in her life, and she called, and I listened. You know what I did while I was listening? I was praying. God, we got to give her something from the Scripture that's going to address this problem that she has in her spirit and in her heart. And I listened very carefully, and then I spoke, and the Lord had directed me to a passage of Scripture, and I directed her there, and I said, this is the problem right here. This is where you need help. You know what that was? That was like a deep, good drink of water for somebody that was very, very thirsty for God. And so what I would say is, you have the Spirit of God. You have some things God has shown you, and God can show you because you have the Spirit of God in you. If somebody approaches you for wisdom, take it seriously. Prayerfully consider what you're hearing. spare your words. A man that hath knowledge spareth his words. And speak to them the thing that God has put upon your heart from the well of water that's in you. You can be in this generation a living fountain of water by godly counsel, by the gospel, right? And I'll give you one more. You're in Proverbs. Look at 25:25. Proverbs 25:25. I say sell yourself short. Don't talk yourself out of it. If you've got the water, let other people have it. You don't have to give them a fire hose. If they come to you for a drink, you don't have to, you don't have to give them everything you know. Just give them what they need, right? Okay. So Proverbs 25, verse 25, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. You know, heaven is a far country, right? And good news from that far country is like cold waters to a thirsty soul. You know, some people just need encouragement. There are a lot of people that are despondent, they're in despair, and they're discouraged today. A lot of people. They're subject to their emotions. They look around them. They don't see much hope. Maybe they've watched too much news and all they see is bad. Maybe they're actually going through a very great difficulty right now with something concerning their health or finances or whatever. And they need encouragement. And, you know, when you have taken a good drink from this scripture and you have the Spirit of God in you, many times God is going to cross your path with somebody else in a divine appointment. And all they don't need reproof, they don't need rebuke, they need a drink of cold water. And they need some good news from a far country. Because the news down here is not good. Would you agree with that? The news down here is not good news. If you're looking for good news down here, you're not going to find it. The good news comes from the far country. And thirsty souls need, they need good news. And when they get it, sometimes I'm thinking about this preacher's conference coming up here, and I was talking to Pastor DeMichael today, and he said, I'm well aware that when we have this preacher's conference coming up, you know, at the end of the month, that there'll be people here. There may be one guy thinking about quitting. You don't even know it. But one pastor thinking about quitting, so discouraged. And they come and they get a big drink of water from the Spirit of God. And some good news from a far country, and leave here ready to go another year for God. And you can be used for that. You can be used for that. I want to give you two caveats to this. All right? You are the living fountain of water that God can use with the gospel, right? With godly counsel and with good news. Remember those three. The gospel, godly counsel, and good news. That's what you have that the world does not have. They have none of that. And every bit of that breathes life into a thirsty soul. Okay? But you got to be careful about two things. Number one, verse 26. A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. Don't trouble your fountain and corrupt your spring. Don't fall down before the wicked. Don't do that. Don't fall down before the wicked. I was talking to somebody about the missionary friend of ours recently that had that terrible fall, and this is the verse that came to his mind. He said, you know what it does? It troubles the fountain and it corrupts the spring. Can't be used of God anymore to bring people and minister to thirsty souls because they've let wickedness cause them to fall. You're going to have to protect yourself, right? You want that sweet water, not that bitter water, okay? So don't. Now's not the time to fall down before the wicked. Now is the time to stand up as the good tree, okay? And don't fall. One more thing, James chapter 3. So don't trouble your fountain or corrupt your spring. Keep it clean. Don't fall down before the wicked. Second thing, James chapter 3. In here, in this building, when you walk through that door, those double doors, you've come out of your car, you might have been on the phone, you walk through those doors and all of a sudden you talk in here, you talk like God's children talk to each other in church. Okay? But out there you may not. So James chapter 3, verse 10, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. James chapter 3, verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Sweet water and bitter. I remember years ago, a fellow went to work for a friend of mine, and strife developed. And in the course of an argument they had one day in my presence, what came out was this: how come at your office you can get on the phone and cuss out people and talk like that, but here in the church you talk different? You don't use that. You don't say those things like you do. Well, and the man's answer was, well, out there that's business and that's the way they talk in that business, but in here this is the way we talk. The same stream, the same fountain. Do you understand it? It is supposed to send forth. It doesn't send forth bitter water and sweet water. It's supposed to send forth sweet water. In other words, talk like you talk in here, out there, because that's where the thirsty souls are. Do you understand? And if you don't, then they're going to see that as bitter spring. They won't know they can get good water there. And they won't get good water there because they won't turn to somebody that talks like they do. And I don't mean take on an act. I mean change the water inside so nothing bitter comes out of the well. And then they get the good water out there because they hear your testimony. And they know where they can find good water because they recognize it when they see it coming out of the spring. Amen. So you be the living fountain of water that, and we need to be the living fountain of water that God can use in this generation. We know what he did in the Old Testament. We know what he'll do during the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, the tribulation, the millennium. Right now it's on us. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Let that happen in your life. Amen. Father, thank you tonight for some great encouragement in the scripture on how we can be used by you to help people find some good water who desperately need it. And we ask you to do these things now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.